brothers and sisters and dear friends, and welcome again. It is time for a grain of encouragement, and I just want to be an encouragement for you tonight. We continue in Galatians. We look at Paul, how he addresses this issue about the law versus the promise. But before we get to verse 19 in Galatians 4, I want to bless your heart tonight. I want to give you a scripture verse which meant a lot to me over the weekend. And we find it in Hebrews chapter 13, verse 8. It says there that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, He's the same today, and He's the same tomorrow. Now, think about that verse. It means that whatever you read in the Old Testament, however you see how He dealt with Moses, Abraham, David, all the prophets, Samuel, how he miraculously worked with them, empowered them, encouraged them, carried them through. That is yesterday. And now He uses the word there, same. That word for same there is the word autos. And that literally means that He is unchangeable. The immutable God, the Jesus who is this Almighty, He is the same yesterday as He is today. So everything you read in your Old Testament, every single thing that you get so excited about, every single faith that He builds within His servants and His disciples, and even in the New Testament, all of those things applies to you and me. And that is fantastic. That is good for our faith to know this. He says to you that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, autos, yesterday, and He's the same today, and He will be the same tomorrow. So take courage out of that. I don't know what you're going through, but I know this, the constant in all of this is that Jesus Christ of the Old Testament, where you find Him, the Old Testament is a shadow, and everything in the Old Testament points towards Christ. Even the law, every single law points towards Christ. And He strengthens His people. So, just before we go into the study, I thought I'd just bless you with that verse. Hebrews 13 verse 8. Lord, with that. So let's return to Galatians. And we see now the sixth and the final evidence that Paul is going to bring to you and to me, and that he brought to these churches in Galatia, is actually a metaphor. He's going to give them a metaphor here from the Old Testament to prove where it is promise versus law, and to explain to you and me that we should live, the just shall live by faith, and by faith alone. Because there was these people who come into those churches and they tried to discredit Paul, and also by discrediting Paul, to discredit the message that he was preaching. These were Judaizers. And you might sit there and you might say, wait a minute, we're not in the first century anymore. We're not in these times that Paul wrote. You're absolutely correct. And the Judaizers just changed a bit. These are people who come in and they try to get control over your life. And the best way they can get control over your life is to give you a set of rules to make you feel good. This is what the cults do. The cults say, if you just follow these five steps, you are much happier, a much better person. And people follow those steps and they feel so good in themselves. So we are no different from these churches in Galatia. So you might sit there and say, but listen here, preacher, you know, week after week after week, you're talking about the same thing. Well, it is an important thing. I mean, Paul wrote the whole letter of Galatia himself because this is an important thing. It could mess up your Christian walk if you go down this line. And last week we saw how that Paul became very personal with them. He sort of laid out his heart in front of these people. And he said, when I came with you, you accepted me like an angel and you nearly put me on the level of Christ. But now that I'm preaching the truth to you, you're casting me out. You're throwing me out. And I said, so what? You know, if you want to throw out the truth, you are the one who's going to walk with the consequences thereof. And this is why Paul is so passionate about this message. And we're going to finish in Galatians, and you'll see next week you'll come into the practical side. So Paul is now going to give us a metaphor as proof, like I said, that the just shall live by faith. Now a metaphor is a figure of speech that makes a non-literal comparison between two unlike things. He's going to go back into the Old Testament. In a way, he sits them down for a Bible study and says, let's go back to Genesis. And I'm going to show you now that there's something that played off in the Old Testament which has got a deeper meaning. So let's continue in verse 19. Paul writes, he says, my little children, for whom I labor in birth again, until Christ is formed in you. I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone, for I have doubts about you. Now let's just stop there for a minute, because within what he's going to use later on as a metaphor, he uses another one, another metaphor. He's full of metaphors in this last one. And this comes via him saying, for whom I labor in birth again. Now this is talking about birth pains. And why is he having these birth pains? He uses the word again. It means that they were drifting away from a position they were sitting in. They were drifting away from freedom. And it pained his heart so much. You see, when he's talking about birth pains, it means that when he came to them the first time, he preached painfully the gospel to them. So he spent time with them. And he saw them come through this process of being birthed. But then something happened and they didn't continue. So what is this process then for us if we talk about a metaphor and compare it to a birth pain? Well, first of all, you find the Word of God goes into the heart of a person. And that Word flows off the lips of the preacher. Just like I'm doing now. Paul went in there and he spent time by opening up the scriptures and declaring to them the gospel which he received from Jesus Christ. So the word went in from his lips through their ears into their mind and sinked into their hearts. Where the word is sitting now, if the Holy Spirit comes in, then there's something that happens there. The word of God starts germinating, it starts growing, it starts sprouting out, and it starts producing fruit. And this is now what he says in that verse, until Christ is formed in you. Now, let me just say this. This must be, and I use the word must specifically. It must be every preacher, pastor, and teacher's aim to keep on giving the Word of God, the gospel, the good doctrine to the people. That should be the aim, until Christ is formed in them. We don't grow Christ in people, we can't do it, that's what the Holy Spirit do. We just give the word, we start preaching the word and keep on preaching the word. There should be no other aim. You can't play on people's emotions and feelings and you know how they feel about you, or you have an agenda, or nothing should replace. Listen to me. Nothing should replace the preacher, the pastor, the teacher's aim, and that is to do what Paul says here. He says, I labor until Christ is formed in you. If Christ is formed in you, my work is done. Absolutely. Because then it is Christ who will guide you. Then it is Christ who you will listen to. Then you will open up the scriptures and find more about him yourself. You don't need a preacher and a teacher, because the Holy Spirit will become your teacher. That is when Christ is formed in you. Now, there's a question. When is Christ then formed in you? That's a good question to ask. It starts when you meet him face to face. Now, have you heard what I said? I didn't say it starts when you start doing a few rules and you feel good when you follow these rules and you feel at peace, or you go to a worship service or you were late. No, it doesn't start there. It starts with a face to face meeting with Jesus Christ. Let's think about Nathanael. When Philip came to Nathanael, he said to him, come and see. We have found the one whom the prophets was writing about and whom the law was writing about. So Philip had a face-to-face encounter with Jesus, and he invited Nathanael to have a face-to-face encounter with Jesus. All I'm doing is to invite you to a face-to-face encounter with Jesus. How do you do that? Pray tonight. Say, Lord Jesus, I pray that you open up yourself, or you present yourself to me through the Holy Spirit. That is a very powerful prayer. But you have to meet Jesus Christ. It's a personal relationship with Him. And this is how you start getting Christ formed inside of you. It's not just holiness. There's a lot of people who are following holiness. A lot of cults, false religions. Some of these false religions, some of those people are more holy than Christians in the Christian church. I'm not talking about the holiness that Christ gives you. I'm talking about a works-based type of holiness, upholding law. And then you need to allow the Holy Spirit to work in you. Now, I've had the face-to-face meeting with Christ. This is what Paul did. He preached to them the gospel. He says to them, it's by faith alone. You've got to have faith in Jesus Christ. And now the Holy Spirit comes in, and you allow Him to start working in you. What is the work of the Holy Spirit? It's found in John. In John, He says He's going to convict you of your sin, and of righteousness, and of judgment. And bit by bit, as you walk with Him, and as you open up your ears for the preaching of the Word which produces faith in you, now what happens? Christ is formed inside of you. So, first of all, it's meeting Him face to face, and then you allow the Holy Spirit to work in you, and He's going to start cleaning you up. And then you stop trusting in your own righteousness and start trusting in the righteousness of Christ. Because He came and implanted righteousness into your heart when you were born again. Now, Paul talks about this. He says, I've got labor birth pains again. And until Christ is formed in you. And then he goes on to say, I would like to be present with you now and to change my tone. Two things. He says, oh, I'm not with you now. And he feels that when he left, that these other people could come in. He says, I would like to be there, but then I would change my tone. Because he's actually writing a really, really hard message to them. He's taking them on. He says, oh, foolish Galatians. You know, he uses really strong, hard words here. And it is rightly so that he needed to use these words with them. So now in verse 21, he says, tell me, you who desire to be under the law, you desire to be under the law. And look, there's good things to be under the law if you want to be there. If you follow the law and you hit 5 or 6 of them, you're going to feel really good and pumped up. Why? Because it's all of that effort that you put in. So, and you're going to feel that you grow because now you can, you know, you can uphold and obey more laws. But you see, eventually it's going to come down. It is the work that you do versus the work that Christ do. You see, if you uphold, he says, if you desire to be under the law, you need to work so hard. Whilst if you're under Christ, he's doing all the work. And all you do is to have faith in him. He says, do you not hear the law? And now he's going to go into the metaphor and explain the promise versus the law. Now let me just remind you, what is the promise he's talking about? That's the promise that was given to Abraham when God promised him that through him the nations will be blessed, and out of his loins came Jesus Christ, which is a blessing to the nations. It's a blessing. So certainly that message flooded into South Africa and it reached me. But where did it come from? The promise that God made to Abraham. And it says that Abraham believed and it was counted unto him as righteousness. No works. It's all that God did. And then what about the law? We remember the law came 430 years after the promise, where the law was given to Moses. And the law was there to show people that they fall short of the glory of God. Romans 3 verse 23. That's what it shows. And it shows that it is appointed for man to die and then judgments. And then it's the wages of sin is death. Sin against what? Sin against the law. Sin against God. This is where we find Ephesians chapter 2. verse 1, he says, for you were dead in your trespasses and sins. He uses the word harmatia there in Greek for sins. And what does harmatia mean? It means that you are missing the mark. And what is the mark? The mark is the law. But you are missing it. And because you're missing it, you are dead. So just so clear and obvious. So now he goes into verse 22. Right into the metaphor. He's going to bring up an Old Testament story and then he's going to show the deeper meaning thereof. He says, for it is written that Abram had two sons. The one by the bondwoman. Look at the words now. Bondwoman. And the other by a free woman. Immediately, we see a slave type of girl and we see one who's not a slave. These two are, he's putting them against each other. The one is bonded, the other one is free. What do you choose? Galatians, what do you choose? Now in verse 23, listen to this now. He says, but he who was of the bondwoman was born according to the flesh. Think about all these things. The flesh works. And he who is of the free woman through promise. You've got to draw the lines here. You've got to see how they work. Which things are symbolic. There is our metaphor. For these are two covenants. You see the bond covenant and the free covenant. The Old Testament and the New Testament. We see it every day when we do the communion. He says, for there are two covenants. Two sons, two women, two covenants. The one from Mount Sinai, which gives birth to bondage, which is Hagar. Mount Sinai. What happened at Mount Sinai? The law. It came. And God spoke to the nation. And here it is now. He says, that is Hagar. And we know the story in the Old Testament about Hagar, the slave woman, the bond woman. Okay? For this Hagar is Mount Sinai in Arabia. It's not in the promised land. It is going through on the way to the promised land. That is what the law is. It was on the way to the promised land, on the way to a free city, on the way to the land of milk and honey. He says, which is in Arabia and corresponds to Jerusalem, which is now. So when Paul talks about that, he talks about the Jerusalem of his day. Not of today. You can literally say it's of today, but he was referring to the politics that, and the bondage of Jerusalem in their day. He says, and is in bondage with her children. So Jerusalem is in bondage. So what are we seeing here? We see here the old covenant he's talking about. Hagar is the slave girl, the bond woman. We see out of Hagar was born, Ishmael was born. He was the child of the flesh. Abraham couldn't wait on God. He didn't want to wait on God. He wanted to have this one heir, you know, and he went in with the slave woman and she bore him a child called Ishmael. But it's a reference to the law, to the bondage. And then we see Jerusalem, when he mentions Jerusalem here, it is bondage in politics and everything. And it points to the Old Testament. So I always say, my friend, if you want to still sit under that Old Testament, under, if you've got a desire to sit under the law, you are sitting under Hagar. You're sitting under Mount Sinai. You are sitting under the old Jerusalem, the bondage Jerusalem. You're sitting in the flesh, the son of flesh, Ishmael. So what is the opposite of that? In Galatians chapter 4, verse 26, Paul starts this now with, but. That's a sharp contrast. He says, we've got this one, but, sharp contrast. The Jerusalem above is free. Now we see the freedom, which is the mother of us all. For it is written, rejoice, O barren, you who do not bear, break forth and shout, you are not in labor. For the desolate has many more children than she who has a husband. So what is he doing now? He's referring back to Isaiah. He said what the prophet Isaiah said before Jerusalem returned. The people returned to Jerusalem from exile. Jerusalem was barren. He says, break forth with a shout. He says, you are not in labor, you know. So it was barren there. So he takes that and he compares it. He says there's a deeper meaning to this. In fact, it's talking about the joy of the church. The church is now the joy. The church is now where Christ came and he set it free from the bondage of sin. There's a freedom, there's a liberty that comes out of that. And that's the Jerusalem from above. Now look at verse 28. He says, now we brethren, as Isaac was, are children of promise. You know, I just can't get it. Your people are still trying to go back to the law. If we are like Isaac, he puts Isaac against Ishmael. You know, Ishmael, the son of the flesh, Isaac, the son of promise. We are children of promise, but as he who was born according to the flesh then persecuted him who was born in the spirit, even so it is now. And that's the struggle that we have, isn't it? It's the flesh versus the spirit. It is the bondage versus the freedom. It is why Paul cries out, oh wretched man that I am, who will save me from this body of sin? In the present tense he says that. The things I want to do, I don't want to do them. Why? Because you've got constantly this flesh, this Ishmael, who wants to hold you back. Now, if you want to apply that, not in the sense of sin, but if you want to apply that to worshiping God, people want to come in and they want to do legal things to feel good, to make the flesh feel good. Now I'm feeling good. Oh man, I worshiped till I nearly dropped. I sang and, you know, I haven't got a voice left. I kept on fulfilling this law. I stopped doing that, stopped eating that. All of these things make the flesh feel so good. You are deceiving yourself. No. We are the children. We are Isaac, the children of promise. He says it right here. And now let's finish this off in verse 30. He says, nevertheless, what does the scripture say? Let's go to the scripture. Cast out the bond woman and her son. Cast out the flesh and cast out the desire to be under the law and come under the desire to be under Christ by faith. For the son of the bondwoman shall not be heir with the son of the free woman. So let me be clear here. If we talk about enter into heaven, it is impossible as the son of the bondwoman under slavery and under the law to fulfill the law and to enter into heaven. It's impossible. There's only one who could do it, and that's Jesus Christ. And he did that so that you and I can go through him, the son of the free woman, into heaven. So then, brethren, we are not children of the bondwoman, but of the free. Now Paul is going to go next week as we go into chapter 5 into practical applications here, but you know, go and listen to it again. If you come into any situation where you feel you don't do enough, listen to these teachings again. Go over what Paul said again. So he proved 6 very, very valuable proofs here that the just will live by faith. Now we're going to stop there and next week we will continue on, but may the Lord bless you and may he keep you, and remember that Jesus Christ is the same yesterday, today and forever. Now forever is a long time. May the Lord bless you.